بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzah has given us the most valuable, the most precious asset in the entire world, the gift and the wealth of Iman. And the reality is, the true value, the true worth of this Iman is something that we will only realize the day our eyes close, when we reach the other side. But to illustrate to us the true value, the worth of Iman, what will this Iman do for a person in the Akhirat? The hadith comes in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about a person who will be brought before Allah Rabbul Izzah on the day of Qiyamah. His book of deeds will be brought before him, the scales of justice will be laid down in front of him. And Allah Rabbul Izzah will command the angels to unroll 99 registers of his, in which only evil deeds are recorded. These registers, according to the words in the hadith, مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ, each register as far as the eye can see. He was a person who led an evil life. He disobeyed Allah during the course of his life. When these registers are presented before him, Allah will say to him, O my slave, أَتُنْكِرُ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْئًا, do you wish to deny or reject any of these evil deeds that you did? The answer will come, لَا يَا رَبِّي, there is no way I can deny it. Allah will then ask him, have my angels, have my scribes oppressed you in any way by recording something that you did not do? لَا يَا رَبِّي. Allah will then ask him, أَلَكَ عُذْرٌ, perhaps you have some excuse, why did you disobey me, why did you break my commands? Again the answer will come, لا يا ربي. Then Allah will ask him, ألك حسنة, perhaps you have some good deed that you can present before me. Something to oppose these evil deeds. He will think to himself and he will reply, لا يا ربي, there is no good deed I can present in your court. Allah will then command the angels, bring out a piece of paper. فيها أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. The shahadatain, the kalima written on it, Allah will say to him, you do have one good deed that you did in your life. This kalima, this shahadat that you recited and you testified, and you left the world with iman and belief in this kalima. Why don't you take this piece of paper and place it on the scale of your good deeds? So this person will reply, Ya Rabbi, ma hadhihi al-bitaqa ma'a hadhihi al-sijillat. One piece of paper, where can it oppose and go against 99 registers of evil? Allah will say to him, لا ظلم عليك اليوم. There's no oppression today. I am just, I am fair. Why don't you place that piece of paper on the scale of good deeds? When he does this, he will find to his amazement, to his surprise and joy, that now the scale of good deeds will become weighty and outweigh the scale of evil deeds. And then as a result of this, the decision will be passed, take him to the gardens of Jannah. This is the value of Iman. Just the kalima that he recited and he preserved and left this world with will come to his rescue, will come and save him from the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. We can imagine, respected brothers and elders, what an effort needs to be made to preserve and protect the iman that Allah has given to us. In this world, we know when I have something of value. A person knows within his home he has jewelry, he has gold, silver, cash. Even if he has no worldly possessions, the lives of his family members are near and dear to him. What an effort is made to preserve and secure that home. When he hears that the crime is on an increase, there's a rise in criminal activity within the area, he does not just suffice on a mere boundary wall around his home. But he will install an electric fencing on top of that. Then he installs an alarm system. That alarm system is connected to the armed response. That also is not enough. He has a CCTV system as well. And he's still willing to pay hundreds of rands to the street patrol because perhaps I will be able to secure and protect my home and my belongings. Such an effort is made to protect and preserve what we know has value in this world. We can imagine how much more of an effort needs to be made to preserve and protect our iman. And just like when it comes to our worldly possessions, no father, no grandfather is content to merely protect and preserve and look after his own interests. But he takes it as a means of honor, as a responsibility that I should preserve and secure my children and grandchildren also. My house may be freehold, but what about my son? What about my grandchildren who are growing up? How do I set them up in life? They also need to be financially secure. And every effort is made, despite that person being in old age, perhaps he's sickly as well. But he wakes up in the morning, he goes to work with this intention in mind, that I will leave behind enough for my children, for my grandchildren. They will be able to live their lives comfortably. In the same way, in the verse that was recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implores the people of iman. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah would say, a royal address, Allah addresses the people of iman. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O those that select group of individuals who have been blessed with the wealth and the gift of iman, listen. Listen to this plea from the side of Allah. What is Allah asking? Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Make every effort to secure and protect not just yourself, but your children and your grandchildren from the fire of Jahannam. Especially in today's climate, my respected brothers and elders, every corner, every alley, every direction a person turns, the fitan, the challenges, the trials that are there waiting to snatch away the iman of our children. If we have not yet realized the severity of it, two examples I will present to you. Two incidents that took place in recent times. Perhaps then we will realize what challenges lie ahead of us, especially when it comes to the iman of our children and grandchildren. Recently, there was a school in the greater Durban area, and we know that generally in school there are debates that take place in the English class. Various topics are chosen, and one student will debate in favor of that particular topic, the other will speak against it, and this is done for educational purposes. A Muslim girl was chosen to speak against or to speak about the topic of homosexuality. She did her research, she prepared against it. And on the other side of the debate, another Muslim girl was chosen to speak in favor of it, in support of it. When the parents of this child were cautioned and warned that don't allow your child to take part in such a debate, the response and the answer was, it is for educational purposes. It is a necessary evil that my child has to go through. And Allah will protect her, don't worry, she doesn't believe in anything. Yet, after this debate took place, 2 weeks after the debate, this girl comes home, she says to her father, I wish to come out of the closet, I am now openly homosexual. The second incident recently, a friend of mine mentioned to me that he had gone for a holiday to Cape Town, and there he linked up with some old friends of his, not just school friends, but those who had did Hifzul Quran with him. They spend the week together, and at the end of the week, he messages his friends to thank them for the time that they had spent together. They took him to different places. A response comes from one of those boys. He says, this was a friend of mine who sat next to me in the Hifz class. We would read our Dor and Sabak Dor to each other, and he excelled as far as his Hifzul Quran was concerned. But the response came that, I wish to share something with you, and I know that you will try to deter me and discourage me. But don't waste your time, because my mind is made up. He says, my university professor has convinced me that the existence of God is something man-made, and I have chosen to renounce Islam. I do not believe in any creator. This is a student who studied the entire Quran from beginning to end. If our heads are still in the sand with regard to the dangers and the threats that are out there, then perhaps now is the time for us to wake up and smell the coffee, my respected brothers and elders. The threat to the iman of our children. Of course, the question that each parent will ask is, what do I do to secure and protect the iman of my children? When these fitan are there, the waves of challenges are coming one after the other. Speak to those who are dealing with children, with youngsters. Speak to those who are in schools and universities, and they will tell you. These are not mere statistics or things that are confined to the news reports. It is a reality that is taking place on the ground. Our Muslim children from good homes are losing their iman. They are believing in such ideologies that are completely against the spirit of Quran and Hadith. What can I do to preserve and protect the iman of my children? Allah reward our ulama who have explained to us that the solution to every difficulty, every challenge lies in the deen of Allah. And therefore ulama have mentioned 5 simple steps that if a parent will do with sincerity, with the right intention, to preserve and protect the iman of his children and grandchildren, then Allah through His mercy will protect their iman. The first thing ulama explained, something which generally we don't give much consideration to, is that the father and the mother have got to build their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The taqwa of the parent will go a long way in preserving and protecting the iman of his children. The proof for this, in the incident of Suratul Kahf, we heard about Musa and Khadir alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam joins Khadir alayhi salam, they embark on a journey. Various things take place on that journey. The third and final incident before their separation, Quran describes, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ Musa and Khadir alayhim as-salam reach a certain town. It is close to nightfall. They haven't had anything to eat for the day. They are hungry. They are looking for a place to rest. So they ask the people of the town to give them some boarding and lodging for the night. But the people of the town refuse. They ask them to leave. There is no accommodation for you. There is nothing that they can do about it. As they leave the town, they see a wall, perhaps the boundary wall of some property. And this wall is about to fall down. Khadir alayhi salam proceeds to repair it with his own hands. Musa alayhi salam asks him, "Oh Khadir, look at the reception we received from these people. They refused to give us a meal. They didn't want us to stay the night. And here, without taking any fee, without taking any payment, you are repairing some property of theirs. What is the reason for this?" Khadir alayhi salam says to him that now you have asked too many questions, we need to separate. But let me explain to you the wisdom behind this. أَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ Let's see, this property and this wall belongs to 2 orphan children in the town. And buried underneath the foundation of this wall is a great treasure that belongs to them. But due to their tender age, they will not have the ability to protect and look after their wealth. If it has to be exposed now, there will be people around them who will usurp and steal this wealth from them. So Allah Rabbul Izzah has commanded me to do this to preserve their wealth. But why these 2 children? Perhaps there were many orphans in the town. Perhaps there were many youngsters who were in need of assistance and help. Why were these 2 singled out? Kana abuhuma saliha. Because their father was a righteous man. His relationship was built with Allah Rabbul Izzah. Allah sends 2 anbiya to protect and preserve the wealth of his children. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned, Hufidha bi salahi abihima. Walam yudhkar lahuma salah. No mention is made of whether these children were pious or not. Perhaps they also were not reading salah, perhaps they also had not built their relationship with Allah. But purely based on the taqwa, the relationship and the closeness that their father had with Allah, Allah protected their wealth. It is inconceivable that a person builds his relationship with Allah and Allah will cause his children's iman to be lost. Mufassirin have written that perhaps it was not even their father who was righteous. But 7 generations up, their great, great, great grandfather, who was a friend of Allah, and Allah still protected his progeny and their wealth in this world. So the first point to take note of, respected brothers and elders, that parent, that father, who has concern for the imani security of his children, he has to build and strengthen his ta'alluq and relationship with Allah. And not just in this world, Allah will come to the rescue of your children, but in the akhirat also, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be raised to a very high level in Jannah. Because he was a righteous man in this world. But of course, how can he enjoy these bounties without near and dear ones around him? So he will look for his wife, for his children, for his grandchildren. Allah will cause them to reach his level as well. The question will be asked, that these children and grandchildren didn't do enough to reach this level. Perhaps their piety was not as much as the piety of their father. But purely to keep his eyes cool, to keep him happy, so that he can enjoy the bounties of Jannah, Allah will elevate the rank of his children and grandchildren, allow them to enjoy the bounties of Jannah with him. Provided they left this world with Iman. Not just in dunya, but in akhirat also. Allah will preserve and protect our progenies, our children, our grandchildren, if we build our relationship with Allah. So this is the first thing to take note of. Every parent, every father, every mother who has concern for his or her children, it is my responsibility for me to first build my relationship with Allah. One of the Salafus Salihin would say to his son, لَأُطِيلَنَّ صَلَاتِي لِأَجْلِكَ O my son, my nafil salah in the dead of night, I am standing up and lengthening my rakats for your sake. So that Allah can protect you, Allah can preserve your iman. The second point, respected brothers and elders, a concerted effort has to be made that we consciously give preference to the deen over the dunya of our children. It is not sufficient to hope for the best and wish that the iman of my children will be protected when I am pushing them in those directions that are there to snatch away their iman. This is not the time to go into the discussion of the permissibility and impermissibility of secular education. But understand it by means of an analogy. We are not saying that we should not equip our children in this world. By all means, equip them to be successful in their lives in this world. But it should not come at the expense of their deen, at the expense of their iman. Understand it by means of this example. Somebody says to you, deep in the jungle, in the forest, there is a treasure that is buried, worth millions and billions of rands. But to get to that treasure, you will have to cross a very dangerous path. There are wild animals and beasts that inhibit the jungle. Chances are 50-50, you may reach the treasure and come out alive. You may also become the food for those animals for the night. Which parent will have the guts and the courage to say, I will send my son and my daughter into that environment? Because chances are they may get that treasure, their life in this world will be made. No parent in their right mind will take the chance. In the same way, if it comes to equipping my children with this, with what they need in this world, but there is a chance that their iman may be plundered. There is a chance that they may lose their iman. Then how is it possible that I take that chance and I send them into that environment? So the second point to take note of is give preference to the deen over the dunya of our children. If we reach that crossroad and we are forced to make the choice, give preference to their deen, Allah will not cause them to go hungry in this world. Allah will take care of their dunya also. As long as you took care of their iman and their akhirat. And at the worst, even if their life in this world is difficult, but they will leave this world after 60 or 70 years with their iman intact. And forever and ever they will be comfortable in the gardens of Jannah. The third point, the third solution that ulama have given to preserve the imani security of our children is that we need to keep our children, our grandchildren in the company of the pious. Allow them to develop a relationship with the pious people. In our country, we have absolutely no excuse. Every second road, every second corner, there is a masjid, a madrasa. There are ulama, there are mashayikh, there are seniors who want the best for us as far as our iman is concerned. It should not be that my child has a desire at a young age. I want to come to the masjid. I want to meet the Morana, I want to meet the pious person. And as parents, we use it as a tool to frighten them. That if you don't listen, I'll take you to the Mauli Sahib, he'll shout you. Your Hibz Ustad, if you don't listen, I'll tell him about you, he'll hit you. Rather, allow them to develop that love for the people of Allah, for the pious people. And see what an effect it has on their lives. Perhaps it won't have an immediate effect, but later in their lives, when they are faced with some difficulty, some problem, they know which door to knock on. The fourth solution that is given is that as parents, especially with our busy schedules in today's time, an effort has to be made for us to create an open and transparent relationship with our children. Unfortunately, and all of us are guilty of this, a minor child comes home, he's got something that is troubling him. Perhaps it's a trivial issue, something that doesn't bother us, something that we don't think is important. But in his small mind, it is something that is worrying him. And because of my busy schedule, I do not lend an ear to his worries and his difficulties. I don't take the time out to listen to what is troubling him. I don't give him the platform to express himself. Remember, while my children are young and small, the problems are small. But when they get bigger, the problems will also become bigger. If I did not create that environment within the home, I did not create such a relationship with my children that they feel comfortable to come to me, then a time will come in their life where the challenges will not be small. The challenges will be affecting their iman. There will be questions about the existence of Allah. There will be questions about the commands and laws of Allah. And if I did not open the door, then they will go to somebody else who will give them the wrong advice. They will not come to me, the father, the mother, who has love and concern and compassion for the child. But they will go to some, a knock on some other door where they will be guided in the wrong direction. An effort has to be made to create this relationship. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident of Nabi Yusuf and Yaqub alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam is a young boy. And we can understand the youngsters of today. If something amazing happens in my life, something extraordinary, something out of the norm, who do I turn to? Do I have the courage to go to my father, to my mother, or do I share it with my friends? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam sees a dream. He sees the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down in sajda before him. This is something amazing, something extraordinary. What is his response? The first thing he does, he turns to his father. Ya abati, inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba, wa shamsa wal qamar, ra'aytuhum li sajideen. Oh my father, this has happened to me. What is your advice? What is your counsel? What is your guidance? You teach me what to do. But a relationship had been created. So an effort has to be made to create that open and transparent relationship with our children. They should feel comfortable to approach me. They should not feel afraid of me. It should not be that I turn them down, whatever they are asking for. But explain to them with love, with kindness. Ulama say, if we do not show love to our children, if we do not show compassion and care to them, then the drug dealer is waiting down the road to show love to them. There's some girl somewhere waiting to show love to my son. There's somebody who has no iman, no belief in akhirat, waiting to give them love and compassion. If I will not fill that void in his life, somebody else will step in. And finally, the last point which ulama explained, and something that each and every one of us needs to do on a daily basis, is take time out to make dua for our children. Many a times it has become our habit, we complain about the challenges around us. We speak about the challenges around us. But when do we turn to the weapon that Allah has given us? That weapon which is sufficient to repel every challenge in this world. The dua of a mother and a father for the child. That, oh Allah, you preserve the iman of my child. It should not just be that my dua is for the financial security of my children. That they must have a good spouse and a good home and a good job and a good car. But I have to make dua for their iman, for their a'mal, for their aqaid and beliefs. In today's time where a person doesn't understand or doesn't know whether he is a male or female, he doesn't know which direction to turn to. These are challenges that our children will face. We cannot hide from it. If it is not already happening, it will happen very soon. The only thing that can protect and preserve them will be the divine help of Allah. And this we can draw through the weapon of dua. If the mother and father will take time out on a daily basis to make dua for their children, ask Allah for their guidance, ask Allah for their protection, ask Allah to secure and protect their aqaid, their beliefs, Allah will not reject the dua of a parent. That dua is sincere. That dua is full of love, full of compassion. These five things, inshallah, if we will make an effort to do, keep them in the company of the pious, make dua for them, create an open and transparent relationship with them, and of course, not forgetting our own taqwa, our own relationship and connection with Allah. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna rabbihi. That person who will rectify his relationship with Allah, he will become the friend of Allah. Then, as we mentioned, it is inconceivable that Allah will cause the iman of his children, his grandchildren, and his progenies to be lost. Allah protect our children, Allah guide them, and Allah give us the realization, respected brothers and elders, for a few pennies of this dunya, for a few pennies of this world, just so that I can say, my son has this title, my daughter has that title, or my son has made it in this world, this is the area that he lives in, this is the car that he is driving. This is not something worthy of us selling and giving away the iman of our children for. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.